desire and interest in your prayers this morning. I've written a question on the board: what will he say to me? So the message this morning is about hearing God's voice in our personal walk with him, and considering what are we going to do with the voice of God when we hear it. I'd like to begin in the book of Mark in the fourth chapter. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Said he began to teach by the seaside, speaking of Jesus. And it says, there was gathered unto him a great multitude. So he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. And then this is the occasion where Jesus went on and began to tell the story of the sower and the different types of ground that the seed fell on. But he said he taught them many things. Wouldn't you have liked to have heard what Jesus taught? Upon reflection, I've been thinking about it, and I would have loved to have sat and listened to how Jesus taught. I would have loved to set his feet. I am someone personally that's not real enamored by people and by what they have to offer. Some people, they're followers, and they just want to go and they gravitate to, oh, there's this we can go to and go to this convention and go to hear this speaker. And I'm personally, it's the way I'm wired. I'm not just real enamored with those kinds of things. But I would have loved to have sat at the feet of my Lord and heard him teach and listen to what he had to say and learn from him, because he taught them many things. He is still teaching us today. Do you realize that? That the Lord is still wanting to teach us something. He taught them by parables. He taught them many things. Now, there's another passage of Scripture in the 7th chapter of Matthew. In the 28th verse, Matthew 7:28, it said, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Have you ever considered how Jesus taught? How do you define anointing? You ever thought about that? There are some places that if someone doesn't jump when they preach, they're not anointed. There are some places if they don't shout to a certain decibel level, they're not anointed. How do you think Jesus taught? Now, we're not preaching against old-time Holy Ghost-filled preaching when things get, you know, there's a little bit of moving there. I'm not saying that's wrong. But have you ever considered how Jesus taught? I told them in Africa this time, and a lot of times some of the preaching I have done, a lot has been evangelistic in the past. But lately, a lot of what I'll do, even when it's time for preaching, I'll just tell the people, I'm going to teach you this morning. And I said, don't, and I just want us to accept that a lot of times, especially over there, if it's not full-blown, you know, what you might say, oh, that's powerful in a physical sense, it's like, well, is that the power of God? And I told them, just even on this last trip, have you thought about how Jesus taught? Here it said he taught them with authority, not as the scribes. So how do you think the scribes taught? What were they teaching? The Pharisees were quoting the rabbis. They were quoting tradition. See, they were promoting themselves and their background more than the things of God himself. What do you think about different religions and even, may I go too far to say, different Church of God groups today? If we find that our teaching and preaching is more about quoting people of the past, and quoting tradition, are we following the pattern of Christ or are we following the pattern of the Pharisees? It should be thought-provoking to us, shouldn't it? The Pharisees were self-promoting. They were self-promoting. They were lifting themselves up, but they were focused on rules and rituals, were they not? Whereas Jesus was interested in our personal walk with God. He was interested in teaching us something that would move us to look at our lives in light of truth and see where we needed to change to be what God wanted us to be. It was not about lifting up or exalting a person, but it was about pleasing God Himself. Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke with clarity. He taught with compassion, but He also taught with judgment. He didn't pull His punches, so to speak. He preached it like it was. He taught it like it was. And He revealed not just the letter of the law, but the heart behind it. You see, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life, does it not? We can preach the letter so hard that it becomes rules to people. But when we preach and teach like Jesus, it should open up people's hearts that they are drawn to see what should be motivating us to do things, not just in keeping a ritualistic law or tradition. Jesus taught giving the heart behind it, not just the rule. And His teaching brought forth a change of life when people accepted it. If we this morning are looking to religion to give us ritual and form and tradition to follow, the church of God is not the right place. If we are looking for something to promote a big crowd or a place to come for entertainment, the church of God is not the place. The church of God, by scriptural definition, is a group of people that have been saved from their sin. The Lord added to the church. And He told the ministry, feed the church of God. There was no other name He gave in the scripture. It was the church of God at Galatia, the church of God at Billings. What makes us the church of God? It's not because of tradition this morning. It's not because of the past rabbis. It's not because of a common history of this Reformation preacher. What makes us part of the body of Christ is when we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is our desire and our purpose today to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I want to learn of You. How can I be pleasing to God in my life? If it is about an organization, it's a wrong place. But if it is about a place that, Lord, I want to sit at Your feet and I want to hear truth. I don't want to hear someone teach me something to just make me feel good. I don't want to go somewhere that we just have a lot it's full of programs that we can all feel good about our work for God. But Lord, I'm interested in something personal in my life. To get hold of something that is going to bring about a life change as I submit. So then are we willing today, individually, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what He has to say? Said He taught them many things in parables. There are people today that say, I don't understand. And you know, there are things in some scriptures I don't understand. And I want to understand more. There are some passages and there are some things that's, Lord, this is a little confusing. I want to understand more. And so there are things in our lives that this morning we may say, I don't understand that. But do you know we're not going to be judged upon what we don't understand? Is this truth? We're going to be judged upon what we do understand. And so the question then this morning as well for us is, what are we doing with what we know God wants? Because there are areas we may say, Lord, I know some people teach it this way and some teach it this way, and I understand why they teach it both ways, and there's only one right way, and Lord, I'm a little conflicted this morning. Then keep seeking the Lord. But in your seeking, let's not walk away from the things that we do know are right. Let's not compromise truth for a program. Let's not compromise what we know is truth and right to go to where there's a bigger congregation. Let's not compromise settling for something less because there's things I like about it, and compromise the voice of God, what the Lord is asking of us in our life. So would it be fair again? What are you doing? And all I can do is answer it for me. But what are you doing with the truth that you do know this morning? You may say, yeah, but Brother Michael, I don't understand this. Okay, but what do you understand? What has God revealed to you personally through the Word of God that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord wants in my life? Because thus saith the Word of God. I know the Lord wants me to live like this. So what are we doing with that? See, this brings about personal responsibility, doesn't it? Even in our places of question, what are we doing with what we know? In Mark chapter 4, going back where we started this morning, in where Jesus began to teach them by parables, and then he told them the story of the Good Samaritan, or not the Good Samaritan, but of the sower rather, and the different types of ground in the seed that was sown. So then in the 9th verse of that passage, Mark 4:9, he said unto them, after he told the parable, he said, he that hath ears to hear, what? Let him hear. He was not talking about these physical ears. He was saying that if you have a desire, if there's anyone that has a desire and a willingness to understand, then pay attention. Pay attention and respond to this truth. Because there are people that can hear, but they're not listening. We can come this morning and you hear the decibels of my voice. But are you listening? And you can leave and say, well, what was the message about? Well, what did he write on the board? See, that's one of the reasons I write the title on the board. I personally believe if the minister can't put a title on the message, he needs to get a clear message from God. Because if I don't know what I'm preaching, how can I share it with you? Now, I'm not saying everybody has to write it on the board. But I'll say sometimes it helps us keep focus, doesn't it? So then we say, but what I heard his voice, but I didn't really, you can hear but not listen, right? And all of you are kind of listening a little bit right now because it's like, oh, he's talking about not listening, so I'm at least hear what he has to say right now. But what about when the Lord talks to us? Sometimes we can hear the voice of God, but we're not listening. So I'd like to tell you a little story about an old telegraph office. A company had advertised, and obviously years ago, a company advertised for a telegraph operator. There's a job. Have a job opening. So several applicants came to apply for this job, and they sat in the waiting room, and it was filled with the clatter of Morse code in the next room. And after a while, a man got up and, with assurance, he walked back into that back room. And the manager came out and said, the position has been filled. And there were people that were kind of protesting that. And they said, he was the last one to show up. And the manager said, the whole time that you were waiting, the telegraph was tapping a message. If you understand this, come in. You've got the job. That man was the only one listening. See, they all heard it, but they heard clatter. And this man was listening, and he heard the message. And he got up, and he went in, and he got the job. The word of God is going forward. The voice, the Lord, is still speaking in this generation. But it's up to us this morning. If you have ears to hear, let them hear. It's not about organization. It's not about membership in a body of people. I recently, and if this individual is listening, so be it. But recently someone was sharing with me, and that it was someone in another country, but they're going to a church, and I could tell you where it was, and we've got them in the U.S., but they were going where there's a lot of Calvinist doctrine being taught. And they're trying to draw this young woman into being a member of the church. And I cannot twist someone's arm to fellowship where I think they ought to fellowship. But all I could tell this young woman was, do what God wants you to do. Follow the truth. What does the Bible teach? What is church membership about? Am I going to compromise because I like this group of people or because my family all goes to service over here with this group and so I kind of want to be where my family is? Are we going to let the voice of God turn into clatter because of my preferences? Are we going to let the voice of God turn into clatter, or will I say, I know the Calvinist doctrine is not right. I know that once saved, always saved is not what the Bible teaches. I know that we all have a choice and that Jesus died for all people and not just for a few elect. That doctrine is not scriptural. They use the scripture to support it, but it's not what Jesus taught us. And so can I compromise truth of God's word because I like another group or I like the way they worship or I feel more at home with this people? Or are we willing to say, Lord, I want to be where you're talking to me. I want to hear the voice of the Lord, and I don't want the Spirit of the Lord just to become clatter, but I want to listen. So we all hear noise this morning, but very few people are listening for the message. And I'm not just talking about the message coming from behind the pulpit here. But when you go home, the message that the Lord is trying to communicate to us personally, to a lot of people, it's just noise. But we're going to only grow and prosper spiritually when we start asking, what will he say to me? What is God wanting to communicate to me in my life? So this is the reason that God sent the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to speak truth to us. In the book of John, in the 16th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." There's a promise that the Spirit will speak. So, what's he been saying to you? He said, well, I don't know. It was very sad to me where many, many years ago, somewhere we were pastoring, and one of the Sunday school teachers, before he died, had made the comments, I don't know if God's ever talked to me. This is someone that had been around the saints for 70 plus years, taught Sunday school, and at the end of life acknowledged that, I don't know if I've ever heard God speak. That's tragic. Because I know God was speaking, but they just heard noise. They heard clatter. Folks, know this. This Holy Spirit, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit was to guide us into all truth. It was to speak to us. He will never speak to us contrary to the Word of God. When people say, well, the Lord showed me this. If it is contrary to, the Lord will never lead you to go join a group that teach Calvinist doctrine. Okay? You say, Brother Michael, how can you say that? Because I know what the Bible teaches. That's how I can say that with assurance this morning. The Lord is never going to speak to you and say, yes, it's okay to go and do this. It's okay to tell a lie in this circumstance. People say, I felt clear before God because it was going to cause so many problems if I told the truth. And so I felt really clear before God in this situation. And normally I know we're not supposed to lie, but the Lord revealed to me in this specific situation, it was okay to tell a lie. Is that the Spirit of God? How do you know that? But I really felt it. It's because it's contrary to the Word of God. So the Spirit of the Lord will always lead us in conformity and partnership with the Word of God. He will never teach us or show us or reveal to us something that is contrary to what the Bible teaches us. And that's one of the ways we can know if it's the Spirit of the Lord or not. Because when the Spirit speaks, it will always dovetail with what the Bible teaches. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." Do you realize the Spirit of God is speaking expressly still today? In other words, he's not playing word games. And I know that there are some prophecies that are in symbolism. Contextually, and we were going to touch on a few of those on misunderstood scriptures that we talked about in Sunday school. In Revelation, there's a lot of misunderstood scriptures because it's taught in symbols. And yet, when the Spirit speaks expressly, it's not in a place of confusion. He wasn't speaking symbolically here when Paul was speaking. It was not hidden. It wasn't a guessing game. The Spirit was speaking with clarity. Have you had moments like that in your life when the Spirit spoke expressly? I mean, it was clear. This was God saying, this is the way. Don't do that. Well, are those my own thoughts? Maybe that's my own thinking. Maybe it's just my opinion that is coloring this. He's like, no, there is no question in my mind. The Spirit spoke expressly. And when the Spirit speaks expressly, all doubt is removed. God has spoken. The Spirit of God is still wanting to speak expressly to us this morning. And until you know expressly, here's my counsel to you this morning if you are struggling to know God's will in a certain area of your life. Until the Spirit speaks expressly in an area that you might be struggling, keep doing what you know is right. Keep doing what you know to do and keep seeking God. And then when He speaks expressly, you will be living in a place of obedience, doing the things you know God wants you to do. Over in John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep, they hear my voice, and they know it." We sing a song in our book, "I Know the Sweet Sound of His Voice." Do you know the sound of the voice of the Spirit this morning? That doesn't mean you always hear it when you want to hear it. You understand the difference? Because sometimes it's like, Lord, I need you to guide me. I'm seeking you, and I maybe don't hear it. But when the Spirit speaks, I know that was the Lord. I know that was God. There's no question in my mind. And there may be a time of seeking God in His will and His leading. And maybe you're then in that place for a year or 2 years or 3 years. And there's just this big question mark. I'm not sure what the Lord wants. And then in just a moment, someone can say, what about this? It's like, I know what God wants. Say, how did you know? For 3 years you didn't know. And now all of a sudden you know. Because the Spirit spoke expressly. He revealed Himself to me. What is the Spirit saying to you this morning? So, Lord, help us then to recognize God's voice. So over in the book of 1 Samuel, very familiar passage about Samuel. 1 Samuel, we'll read in the third chapter, verse 1. Said the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In other words, what it meant there was that there were no prophets at that time. The word of God, the word of the Lord was precious. There was no open vision. In other words, there were no prophets and people saying, oh, the voice of God is speaking through this prophet. And it came to pass when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of God where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. See, it was nighttime, the end of the day, it was getting quiet. And it said the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, he said, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, thou callest me. And Samuel, or Eli, said, I didn't call you. He said, go lay back down. Go lie back down. And Samuel went and laid back down. And the Lord called again. I'm so thankful that the Lord calls again when we don't get it the first time. He called again. Because, see, Samuel did not recognize the voice of God. And when we don't recognize his voice, he's going to keep calling. So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again. He said, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. And Eli told him again. He said, Samuel, go lay down. I didn't call you. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He wasn't experienced. He didn't recognize his voice. And the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou hast called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And Eli said to Samuel, go and lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, thou shalt say. So here's some advice that the priest gave, that he gave to Samuel. He said, if you hear the voice calling your name, he said, this is how to respond. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Samuel went and lay down again, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered and said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And God began to talk to Samuel. According to Josephus, Samuel was about 12 years old at this juncture. Josephus was, you know, a historian, and a Jewish historian, and he estimated that Samuel would have been about 12 years old. He did not have experience in knowing the voice of God. He didn't discern the voice of the Lord, and he mistook the voice of the Lord for Eli. You know, there's a lot of voices in our world today. And sometimes we have our own thinking, right? We have our own thoughts and our own opinions. And it's like, was that the Lord or... I mean, there's been times I'm like, that is either the Lord or the devil, and I'm not sure which one. So what do we do? Either the devil's bringing this to me or the Lord is. I don't want to go wrong, but I'm really not positive what to do. Keep doing what you know is right, and the Lord will speak again. And he will speak in a way that you can know it is the voice of the Lord. And some of that comes with experience. Some of that comes because if I called my wife and tried to disguise my voice, do you think she'd know who it was? We would do that with my mother. We would call her and try to act like my dad. Every once in a while when I talk to my mom or call her, I'll still try to act like my dad. You know what? She knows her husband, she knows her son. But do we know the voice of the Lord? He will reveal himself, but when he speaks to us, then as we grow in the Lord, we start to recognize his voice. And it's kind of like the story is told of in a big auditorium, there's dozens of children. You know how children do in a big group. Sometimes they get a little rambunctious, and they're all up there on the front and carrying on. And one of the fathers, a parent, stood up and he said, son. And all of those children heard his voice, and they kept doing what they were doing. Yet there was one boy that stopped and turned and went to his dad. Why was that? Because he recognized his voice. That's what the Lord wants in our life this morning. Amidst all of the clatter, amidst all of the voices that are in the world, I want to know the Father's voice. And as we grow in Him with the desire to know His voice, the longer you live with someone, the more you know them. The more you understand and know their voice. And there are some people that have a very distinctive voice. And the Lord has a distinctive voice this morning. And He wants you to hear Him. He wants you to know and hear what He has to say. So then as we come to the last point in the message. Do you want to hear? Do you want to hear what the Lord has to say to you this morning, personally? I'm not talking even about what's being said from this pulpit. I'm saying as you go home today, I'm saying this week, are you uncomfortable with what you think the Lord's going to say? And if you think you know what He's going to say, is it possible that He's already said it? And you've just been left with a decision as to what you're going to do with it. Have you ever considered that? Because it's kind of like children. They don't want to look at their parents because they know what they're going to say or do. And they don't want to be held accountable. So if they can just act like they're ignoring. When the Lord speaks, we have choices this morning. We can shut our ears and not listen. Have you ever seen children do that? And they say, I can't hear you. Well, they know someone's speaking. And too often people do that with God. I don't hear the Lord, so I'm not accountable. When you do that, you are accountable, just if you had any question. Because you knew the Lord was speaking. Or we can just ignore it. When the voice of the Lord comes, we can, if we know, if we look and plug, go like this, we know now we're accountable. But sometimes children just totally just act like they ignore it. And I fear that too many people are doing that with the voice of God this morning. Because they don't want to change something in their life. I've told you all here before that the reason we should be coming to service is because we want to get closer to God, right? I'm not just here so you'll pat me on the back as you leave and say, oh, what a lovely message. I mean, that would be good to hear from sometimes, but it might be encouraging, but that's not why we're here. We're here because we ought to be wanting to do business with God. So would it be fair to ask you, does it make you uncomfortable to get quiet before God because you know what He'll say? If we ignore that, and we always want to have something going. You know, there's nothing wrong with listening to something in the car. Please don't misunderstand me. But some people can't stand it to be quiet. They always have to have something going on. And sometimes I wonder if the devil doesn't use that as a distraction for us to just have some quiet time that we can hear what the Lord has to say to us. And a lot of times it's because we already know what He's wanting to say to us, which means He's probably already said it. Or we can say, Lord, I'm here. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm listening. What will God say to me? Lord, what do you want to say to me this week? What do you want to speak to me? Would you speak, Lord? Because I'm listening. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you had your bit to say, and when they started talking, you couldn't hardly wait for them to be quiet because you wanted to get in some more points? Anybody ever done that? Okay. I'm not going to interrupt you, Lord. Too many times are not our prayers about us talking to God, telling Him our needs, our problems, what we want Him to do, maybe justifying, and He starts to try to talk to us. And yes, Lord, that's right, but we're trying to start justifying or excusing or rationalizing. Or, yeah, Lord, I really need help. Lord, help me. And then we want to move on so we can say, I prayed about it. But did we just stop and get quiet? Say, Lord, I'm going to stop interrupting. I've been doing too much of the talking. What do you have to say to me? Does that make us uncomfortable? If it does, why? Have you ever considered that? If it makes us uncomfortable to get quiet and listen to the Lord, why? I would rather be uncomfortable in this life than to be uncomfortable when I get to the judgment. So what does the Lord have to say to us? Over in the book of Revelation, it says repeatedly, when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to the different churches, he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Spirit of God still has something to say to us collectively and individually this morning. But the question is, are we listening? So in closing, in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk 2:1, the prophet said, I will stand on my watch and set me upon the tower. It's a place of the watchman. And he said, I will watch to see what he will say to me, and I will, and what I shall answer him when I am reproved. In other words, I'm going to stand in my tower, and I'm going to seek to hear what God has to say to me. I'm going to be focused on his answer to me. I'd like to encourage us this week to ask ourselves, what will he say to me? Give the Lord opportunity to speak to you this week, because the Spirit of the Lord is still talking and he has your best interests at heart. The Spirit of God is not just wanting to make you feel bad. He's not just wanting to make you feel like you can't live this way. That's not the way that God talks to us. If the Spirit of the Lord reproves, he'll give you the solution. If he shows you a problem, he'll show you healing. He'll show you the answer. He'll show you something like Jesus. He was very upright and straightforward with what he taught, and yet it worked a change in people's lives. So don't be afraid of the dealings of God. But let's not plug our ears this morning. I believe God has something he wants to say, and I want to ask you and encourage you in the Lord this morning to listen to what God's wanting to say. Amen.